Well, good morning, guys. How are y'all doing? Awesome. Hey, we are continuing our series in Matthew. So if this is your first time here, we're taking two straight years. We're going straight through the book of Matthew, which is a gospel about Jesus Christ. We're spending two straight years talking about nothing but Jesus. So I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12. I think that you guys are going to like what we have today. I've been wrestling with this passage all week long, just letting you know. And because one of the things is it's a very popular passage. And so in order for me not to sound redundant, tell you something you've already known, I had to figure out exactly what Jesus was saying here. And so I hope that you find it interesting. I hope that you find it enlightening. And I hope it absolutely rocks your world. Because what Jesus says in this passage here, has major implications for how you and I live and how we view our Heavenly Father. So I want to invite you, if you have a smart device, if you have an iPhone or an iPad or an Android or whatever, and you have the YouVersion Bible app, I want to invite you to open that up. You can go to your drop-down menu, hit live. You can find our outline right there. You can send us prayer requests, interact with us, all this kind of stuff. If you don't have that, you have a bulletin. There's an outline in your bulletin. And if you don't have a bulletin, you can follow along with us on the screen. So you can't miss it. If you guys will follow with me here, Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 12, Jesus says this. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." All right, so here's the main point. I want you guys to get a hold of this, is that what Jesus is saying here is that God is the source of all good things. Everything you enjoy, everything that's good, everything that is lovely, hopeful, whatever, God is the source of that. See, I grew up thinking differently. I always grew up thinking that God had this set of standards, but everything I enjoyed was from Satan. That's what I always thought. All the fun was on Satan's side. All the good stuff was on Satan's side. And I had to fight that stuff off to get over here to God. Well, that's not the case. Everything that you enjoy is from God's. Is from God. The only thing Satan can do is take what God has already created and try to twist it and pervert it and try to move it as far outside of how God intended for it to be. Okay? That's all he can do. He can only take what God has created. Everything you enjoy, all pleasures, all everything are gifts to you from God. Everything. This was groundbreaking for me, guys, when I found this out. And the second thing that I want you guys to get a hold of is that we're going to start at the end of the passage. The end of the passage is known as the golden rule. Do to others as you would have others do to you. Okay? I want you guys to get a hold of this. God is the first practitioner of the golden rule. God did for you what he wants us to do for him. He is the first practitioner. He is not telling us anything to do anything that he has not done himself. I want you to think about it, because a lot of us think about the golden rule as a way we relate with people. But I want to ask you guys to think about how you relate with God today. God is the first practitioner of the golden rule. Okay? And so we go here to Matthew chapter 7, 7. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, because everything we talk about today has to do with that. All right. But he says this. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you, for everyone asks receives." You guys see that? Okay? Well, we are to ask. If God is the source of all good things, and he does to us as we would want him to do, he wants us to do for him, we're supposed to ask. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a very good track record of always getting what I ask for. How about you? Anyone here gotten 100% of everything they asked from God? No, it doesn't happen. So what does Jesus mean here? When he says, "Ask and it will be given to you, for everyone who asks receives." Well, everyone who asks receives, but you may not. Everyone receives an answer to prayer. There are four ways that God answers prayer. This is what he gives us. Okay, the first answer to prayer is no. Yes, that's true. God says no sometimes, and sometimes that no is a painful no. Every Father's Day, I'm reminded of a very painful no that I got. I asked God to heal my third child of his heart disease, and he said no, and my child died. Every Father's Day, I'm reminded of a painful no that I received from God. All right? Sometimes God says no, and he's got fantastic reasons for it. The second thing he says, though, is slow. Okay? God sometimes says no, then he says slow. He says not yet. You ask for something, he says not yet. This is not the right time for it. It's like a kid who wants his Christmas presents on December 1st. The dad says, no, you'll get them on December 25th. You have to be patient. So God's not saying no, maybe. Maybe he's saying slow. Maybe right now is not the right time. Because if you got it now, it would ruin it. A third answer that God gives is grow. He says, I have all of this stuff. You're asking for this, and I want to give it to you, but you're not ready for it yet. Kind of like an 8-year-old who wants his driver's license. Well, we know what a disaster that would be. I mean, an 8-year-old with full driver's license, he would kill himself and the people on the road. So they're not ready. You need to grow first. There are things that you need to accomplish in your life before I can bless you with this stuff. Maybe there's a character flaw within you. Maybe you are asking God for some great plan. And the problem is that you have a terrible temper. And you need to get that temper under control before he can give you the blessing of what you're asking for. Maybe you're irresponsible and you need to man up and you need to become more responsible. Maybe you have just not shown that you're faithful with small things before he will give you the big things. That's a biblical model. Sometimes God says, I will give you what you ask, but you need to grow first. And that's why you haven't received what you asked for. But the fourth answer that he gives us is go. He says, you ask for it and he gives it because you're ready, you've grown, and this is his will for you. So there are four answers to prayer. No, slow, grow, and go. And you always receive one of those answers to everything you ask of the Lord. Everything. Okay? So that's what Jesus is saying. He says, ask and it will be given you, for everyone who asks receives. Okay? Then he says this. He says, seek and you will find, for the one who seeks finds. And I found this to be true as well. I found that whatever I seek for, I find. Do you know that? Everything that I seek for, I find. You say, well, I've looked for things and I haven't found them. Well, this is the way it looks. The second step to receiving from God is after asking is to seek. All people find out what they seek. You're seeking reasons to be spiteful in life, you'll find them. You'll find them. You want to see, you seek reasons not to trust people, you'll find those too. You want to seek reasons why you can't succeed, you'll find those. All right? If you are seeking God, you'll find him. If you're seeking success, you'll find that. If you're seeking reasons to be joyful, you'll find those. If you're seeking reasons to forgive someone, you'll find those. If you're seeking reasons to not forgive, you'll find those too. Everyone who seeks finds what they're looking for. Are you seeking reasons to follow God's will? You'll find those too. You know, I did something really dumb this past week. All right, really, really dumb. My daughter is going to be trying out for the East High School soccer team. And she was given by her coach this conditioning thing. It's like a 5-day workout, sprints, distance. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you do sprints. And Tuesday and Thursday, you do distance. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do that with you. All right? Let me tell you how dumb this was, okay? I don't remember 100 yards being that long when I was 18 years old. I don't remember hurting like this when I was in college, when I was doing this stuff, okay? Day 3, I pull a hamstring, okay? Elsie, who's 13 years old, dusts me, leaves me in the dust, okay? And then for a father, that's tough, okay? That is tough. Not only your kid, but your daughter, okay, beats you on the track. That's really bad. Well, guys, by the third day, I was ready to quit. I'd made a commitment that I was going to do this 5-week conditioning thing with her, and I was ready to quit. And I had every reason to quit. I've got a sore hamstring. That's a good reason to quit, isn't it? Then I found myself, you know, what's the purpose? Dave, you're 40 years old. What are you doing this for? There's no purpose for it. If I saw it, that I could have quit. I'm too old. Not today. All the excuses ran through my mind, and I found out if I was seeking reasons to quit, I would have found them. But then again, if I was seeking reasons to overcome, I would have found those too. Everyone who seeks finds. So the question is not what have you found in life. The question is you're seeking. You found what you're seeking. And if you're seeking reasons not to trust God, you'll find them. If you're seeking reasons to follow God, you'll find them. Whatever you seek for is what you find, is what Jesus is saying. So the first step to receiving from God, you have to ask. The second, you have to seek God's blessings. And the third, he says this, knock and the door will be open to you. For the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now, the third step implies that in our quest to receive things from God, we're going to see some closed doors. We're going to butt up against some obstacles. There are going to be some closed doors. And that's not a sign that God has forgotten you. It is a sign that you are to knock on that door. That's our job. A lot of us, when we encounter a wall, we encounter a problem, we encounter some questioning, we think that we encounter a closed door with what we want to do in life, what we think God wants us to do in life, and we think that that is God saying no. Maybe he's saying knock, because that's the third step to receiving from God. How many of you guys have gotten a yes on the first time you asked for something? How many of you all have applied for a job or you've asked for a favor from the boss and they said no and you persisted and they gave in? My kids are masters of that. I always tell them no first. They know that. They keep asking and they wear me down a lot of times. And they knock on that door. They knock on that door. Okay, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to do. Babe Ruth said, you can't beat a guy who won't quit. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He also correlates that in the parable of the persistent widow, where the widow keeps going before the judge, grant me justice because my adversary. He says, no, no, no. And finally, you're wearing me out. Okay. Jesus puts that up as a pattern of godliness. We're to knock on the door, you guys. We have to do all three. How many of us are good at doing maybe one or two of them? Maybe we're good at asking. We're not good at seeking. We're definitely not good at knocking. Or maybe some of us are good at seeking, but we don't ever ask. We have to do all three in order to receive from God is what Jesus is saying. All right. And then he moves on here in Matthew 7:9-11, that God is the source of all good things. He said, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Dad, I'm hungry. Okay, here's a rock. How many of us would do that? All right. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. Well, I mean, maybe a Pentecostal church. I don't know, you know. But if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, it's interesting that Matthew records this, because I looked up in Luke at this exact same thing, and Jesus says this in Luke 11:13. Luke records this during the same passage. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's interesting. Matthew says that it says how many of you will give good gifts to those who ask him. Luke records him saying the Holy Spirit. Good gifts, Holy Spirit. Now, was one of the biblical recorders lying? No. It's the same thing. See, here's what I've noticed. Let's say that you need wisdom from God. Does God give you wisdom? No. He gives you the Holy Spirit, who then gives you wisdom. Let's say that you need guidance. You need guidance for a decision you're making. Does he give you guidance? Does he show you the ways? Does he lay you out with a roadmap of what to do? No. He gives you the Holy Spirit, who leads you step by step by step into God's will. If let's say that you need peace, you're stressed out, you just need peace from a terrible situation. Does he give you peace? No. He gives you the Holy Spirit, who brings peace, who's known as a counselor. You need stress relief. He doesn't relieve your stress. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Okay? In other words, God doesn't give you those things. He gives you himself. Get a hold of this, people. The answer to what we ask for, God says, I am the answer. What most of us don't realize, the ultimate reward in life is God. God is the reward. God is the reward. Not the things he gives us. God is the ultimate reward. Get a hold of this. It's not wealth. It's not peace. It's not comfort. It's not success. Even though those things are nice, those are not the ultimate rewards. God is the reward. God is the answer. God answers your prayers with himself. Get a hold of this, people. Okay? Until you are content with that, until you are content with God being the answer to everything that you need, you will never be enough. Nothing God gives you will ever be enough until God is enough. This past week, we celebrated we observed the 70th anniversary of D-Day. As you know what D-Day is. D-Day was in 1944, was the opening of the Second Front. By Allies invaded Normandy and opened the Second Front in World War II. All right? Every war, guys, has a battle that decides the outcome of the war. There's a one key battle that decides the outcome of the war. For the Civil War, it was Gettysburg. After Gettysburg, the South had no chance of winning the Civil War. Even though the war went on for a little bit longer, the outcome was decided. In the Napoleonic Wars, it was Waterloo, where the Duke of Wellington beat Napoleon. Even though the war lasted longer, the fate was determined there. There was no way Napoleon was going to win after Waterloo. For UK footballs, whenever they step out on the field, it's already determined, okay? All right, it's already over. But for World War II, it was D-Day. When the Germans failed to prevent the opening of Second Front, when they failed to stop the Allies from storming Normandy, the Nazi regime was over. It was done. Even though the battle lasted another year, the outcome was decided. All the Allies had to do was show up for the battle and fight. It was already over. Well, guys, there's a bigger war going on around us right now. Spiritual warfare. Good versus evil. Armies of heaven versus the armies of hell. Now, let me tell you, the outcome's already been decided. Easter was that war's D-Day. At Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead, when he conquered death, when he took our sins, Satan's outcome was decided. The war is over. You have already been assured a place on the victor's side. D-Day has happened, and God wins, okay? That's it. Now, why am I talking about this? This is why. Because everything else that God may give you is just icing on the cake. Everything that you may need from God is just icing on the cake. You've already won. He's already given you the biggest gift that you'll ever receive. Okay? The outcome has already been decided because of what God did for you. But guys, we don't look at it that way. Author Max Lucado gave a great illustration of how we approach God. He said, imagine there's a bunch of people on an airplane. And all of a sudden, one engine explodes, the next engine explodes, and the plane starts going down and down and down. Jesus is standing there at the door, and he opens the door, and he says, everybody come up here, I got parachutes for everyone. And everybody rushes to the front, and Jesus hands a parachute. But the problem is that everybody starts to make requests. The first person says, Jesus, appreciate the parachute, but can you deliver me from the fear of falling? And Jesus says, no, pushing him out of the airplane. Okay, next one comes up and says, I really prefer a hang glider. I'm not real comfortable with parachutes. Can you give me a hang glider? Jesus says, no, I gave you a parachute. Go. Next one comes up and says, God, could I have a pink parachute? This green is really not good. And Jesus says, no, I gave you a parachute. Go. And one by one, each person comes up and makes these requests of Jesus. And Jesus literally is pulling out his hair saying, I gave you a parachute to save your life. Isn't that good enough? How many of us are like that when we approach God? He's already saved us. He's already assured us a place in heaven. He's already assured us a place on the winning team, on the victor's side. And we approach him like the people on the plane approach Jesus. See, guys, contentment is a state where you'd be perfectly fine if God did nothing for you other than forgive your sins, save you from an eternity in hell, give his life for you. How many of you can say that that's exactly how you are this morning? That if all Jesus ever did for me was to save me from hell and assure me a place in heaven, I would be content. See, guys, whether or not God is the reward is a good thing or not shows how much you value God. If God's not the answer, it's a dumb question. Say, I need a luxury car. God answers, something better than a luxury car is here. I'm here. Is that good news or is it bad news? You say, I need friends. God answers, I'm here. Is that good news or bad news? Depends on how much you value God. You say, I need food. I need shelter. I need a job. I need to be loved. I need to overcome my sins. I need to reconcile with my family. I need to kick this addiction. I need to be able to forgive. God says, I am here. I am the answer to all of those things. And whether or not that's good news or bad news depends on how much you value God. God, the being of infinite worth and value and majesty, stoops down and becomes personal with mortal human beings like you and me and says, I'm here. Ask, seek, knock. Here I am. And if I'm not enough, nothing else will be. That's what God is saying in this passage. And then Matthew 7:12, which is the golden rule, he says this. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. It's known as the golden rule. It's the best way to live. But I want to challenge you guys on something. You have to realize that God was the first practitioner of his own rule. He did for us what he wants us to do for him. He gave himself for us. He wants us to give ourselves for him. He laid down his life for us. He wants us to lay down our lives for him. He blesses us with gifts. He wants us to bless him with gifts. He sought us out. He wants us to seek him out. He loves us. He wants us to love him. Maybe it's time that we realize the first person we need to apply the golden rule to is God. So in everything, do to God what you would have him do to you. I think that's a deeper point that Jesus is making here. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, Jesus asks. Well, why do we do that with God? Why do we do that with God? You know, why is it that when God asks for 100% commitment, we give him a stone? Why is it when God tells us to live by the Bible, we don't? So in everything, do to God as you would have him do to you. Maybe the golden rule needs to be applied in your life today, but I'm not talking about with just people. I'm talking about with God. So I end with this. What does God want for Father's Day? He's your Heavenly Father. What does God want for Father's Day? It's plain and simple. For us to treat him as he treats us. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. What does God want for Father's Day? For us to treat him as he treats us.